If you're taking notes, our notes are the same as they were last week and the week before. God's word, your power. God's word, exclamation point, your power. God's word, your power. Let's turn in our Bibles to, let's do some review of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Remember when, remember we taught this Sunday, when Jesus, shake it off, that's right. When, somebody say shake it off. Hey, Brian, I don't know if you have any time after after service. I just want to go over a couple of chords. Bass player don't have chords, huh? What do they have? Notes, right? Notes. A couple of notes. I got a riff running through my head. So I want to get it down before I forget it. Actually, I'm not going to forget it because I recorded it, but I want to just spend a little time. Somebody say, shake it off. And what we learned Sunday is to shake it off is something to be proactive. Somebody, let's say proactive. Remember Peter? How many remember the story we taught? How many were with us Sunday? Raise your hand if you're with us Sunday. Okay. So Peter, remember the story? Peter, he has this snake. He bites him. Just Paul. Yeah, not Peter. Thank you, Paul. Grabs and it latches. It grabs him and it latches himself to him. I mean, these, you know, and he's like, whoa, you know, the natives were like, whoa, trip out, a snake's on. Yeah, they thought he was going to die, you know what I mean? How many know they knew that that was a poisonous snake? They were sitting there waiting, you know what I mean? And then when, you know, first they're like, whoa, see, you know what, the ocean didn't kill him, we knew, but he must be a murderer because, you know what, sure enough, the snake got him. Ocean couldn't get him, but the snake got him, you know, see, God's will. And Paul's like, I'll show you God's will. Shakes that snake off, throws it into, actually, man, that'll preach. You know what I mean? I'll show you God's will. Amen. What was God's will? God's will wasn't that, you know, a lot of times we think because circumstances come on us that that must be the will of God. No. You need to know the will of God through knowing the word of God. Can I tell you what God's will is? God's will is his word. There's so many Christians, even Christian teachers, who exalt circumstances. Oh, it must be God's will. You know what? That's what the doctor said. That's the report. He said, I have this. That's not the will of God for your life, to die early. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's not God's will in your life. You know, don't sit there and say amen to that crazy, unknowledgeable of the word of God person at the funeral who sits up there and tells you, you know what, it must have been the will of God that this, you know what, child died. Because they died. How many, there are all kinds of things that happen on earth that aren't the will of God. Listen, if you won't believe that theology, Then here's what you're doing. Can I be honest with somebody? Here's what you're doing. Can I be honest with somebody? Here's what you're doing. You're saying every car accident, every drunk driver, you know what? Everything. Every sexual abused child, you're going to say that's God's will? Well, good. Say no, because it's not. You know what? And Paul recognized, this ain't God's will. Get off of me. Threw him in the fire. And I believe that was a very poisonous snake because how many know people who are, on an island for natives for a long period of time, they know what's going on. They sat there in the sixth verse says they were sit there watching him for him to die. I believe that was a very poisonous snake. They knew it's just a matter of moments, you know what, that this person is going to keel over. And when he didn't keel over, then they're like, whoa, you're a god. My point is that, you know what, we have to understand that the word of God is given to us. It's my title. You know what? God's word, our power. The word of God is given to us to empower us. The word of God is alive, the Bible says. And the word of God is given to us that we could activate supernatural power. Here. Somebody help me out. Why did they think about it for a minute. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a training center. Okay, I don't need to come up with all the answers. You guys are really smart. Tell me this. Why do you think they thought Paul was a god? Well, hands. Let me see hands. I can't. That's all I heard. Why? Why do you think? Okay, somebody help me out. That's close. That's kind of it. Why do you think? What's the word? Supernatural. It wasn't naturally he would die. See, God works in the supernatural. So when, and that's what, watch this, and that's what Paul was walking in. The supernatural. There was another time that they raised somebody up from their sickness, and they had people running to them, and they were like, they wanted to worship them. And they had to correct them and say, no, we're not gods. See, it's confusing when a natural man walks in the supernatural. Yes. And when other people see that, they want to deify those people and say, they're gods. No, we're not gods, but we can walk in the supernatural. Yes. See, you have to recognize, you have to get out of this mentality of that you have to, you are not designed to walk in the natural. You are designed to walk in the supernatural. Yes. And so, but watch this. Our example, who's our example? Jesus. Jesus, you know, yeah, but he was God. No, don't forget what the Bible says in Philippians, that he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. How did he walk in the supernatural? The same way Peter walked in the supernatural. I don't know, how many know Peter wasn't Jesus? How many know Paul wasn't Jesus? How many know John wasn't Jesus? You know what? you know what? I mean, Paul, are you kidding me? John, they put in a boiling pot, you know what I mean? And expected him to die. He just sat there and said, man, when's dinner? You know what I mean? The soup smells good, but I'm going to eat the soup. I'm not going to be the soup. Amen? Yeah, exactly. Where are the bubbles, man? This is cool, amen? Where's my towel, amen? But the point is, here's the point. The point is that these men are walking in the supernatural. How do they do it? Well, you know what? They do it, they're going to do it, they did it the same way we're going to do it. You know what? God's power is through his word. Is that not right? Look at your neighbor and say, God's power is through his word. You know, hey, get rid of the stinking thinking. Get rid of that kind of thought. You hearing me? That wrong thinking. Allow your mind to be renewed, not by what you're experienced, but by what you see in the Word of God. Experience cannot teach you what is right and what's wrong. not going to teach you that. Experience can't teach you the will of God. Why? Because you have all kinds of people who don't understand their power. Even Christian people who don't understand their power. And so you're going to see something and it's going to distort what should be going on. How many, there's all kinds of things in the Word of God, examples in the Word of God that shouldn't happen. What's going on? God's allowing people to make bad choices. Right? Okay. Have you found your place? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lonely among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. Remember, we talked about this. So Paul is saying, look, you think I'm bold when I'm not around you because I write you bold letters. And the truth is, I can be bold when I'm around you. I'm just believing the best, writing you a letter in advance. One time Paul said, there's this church and they said, we're gonna give this amount. And he wrote before he got there, he said, hey, guys, make sure. How many ever thought that you were going to do something good and you were quick to pledge, oh, I'm going to do that. Amen. Right here. But then when it came down to it, you didn't follow through with your commitment. Okay, thank you. I have one person tell the truth, two, three. Okay, so yeah, we've all done that, okay? And so Paul recognizes that. And so at one point in time, he tells these people in a letter, he says, hey, guys, I'm coming to you. And when I come to you, have your gift ready. So when I come, you don't look at me and say, I wanted to give you some money, but you know what? Well, I went over to Tommy's and just spent all my money. Or I went to the mall and spent all. No. He says, get it ready because I'm coming. That's the same thing he's doing here. And they're thinking that he's meek, you know what, when he's face to face. But he's bold. He's just bold when he. No, let me tell you what. Paul had no problem. Remember this? Remember when Paul sees Peter walking in hypocrisy? You know, Peter's like, oh, you know what? Friendly with the Greeks, you know what I mean? With the Gentiles, he's all friendly. Oh, dude, you know what? Let's have a ham sandwich. But then when the Jews came around, he was like, oh, I don't eat ham sandwiches. You know what I mean? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And this meek guy. Remember this? Then he comes to him and to his face in front of them. Can I teach you something? Say, well, I thought the Bible said that when your brother friends you, you're to go to them privately. That's a good concept, and that's true. But how many know the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required? So how come Paul did that? I believe that here's how come he did it. I don't believe he was unbiblical. I believe he recognized, hey, Bucky, you're an apostle. Exactly. Act like it. You are walking. You know what he tells them? He says, you know what? You are a leader, and you're causing, you know, even, who is the guy he said? Even, what's his name? I'll remember his name in a minute. But he's saying, this is another leader, and he says, even this guy. You said it. No. Starts with a B. He said, even Barnabas is carried away now your hypocrisy. See, Barnabas is watching what Peter's doing, and now Barnabas is taking the ham sandwich and saying, oh, yeah, I better not have that. But only when the Jews are around. How many know we ought to act the same way we act Sunday on Monday? And so he's saying, this is who he is. He's a bold leader. He's just trying to be gracious to people. Amen? Next verse. Verse 2. But I beg you that when I am present, I might not be bold. See, that's what he does. He says, get it together. I'm coming. When I'm coming, have it together. That I might be bold, that the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think us as if we walked according to the flesh. Next verse. For though I walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though I walk in the flesh, I don't war according to the flesh. I'm doing something, but I walk in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. There's things going on in the Corinthian church, and you know what? We're not going to get these things taken care of by me being upset with you. I'm going to show you how they're going to be taken care of. He says it. Casting down arguments. Everybody say casting down arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the word, bringing every thought into captivity. Stay here. To the obedience of Christ. This is how we bring down strongholds. How many have noticed there's some strongholds going on in your home? Okay. Anger. I'm not asking you to stand up when I name your thing. Okay. I'm not asking that. Okay. I'm not calling anybody out. So I'm going to say thank you. Amen. Yeah. You know what? But you know what? Anger. You know what? Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Hypocrisy, addictions, all kinds of addictions, sexual addictions, alcoholic addictions, you know what, drug addictions, sugar addictions. Yeah, some people stood up on that one, huh? You know, all kinds of different stuff going on, and you're like, man, I don't understand. What is the struggle? Why do I keep on? You know what? You ever feel like you're seeing that movie Groundhog's Day? You know what I mean? And you just keep on coming back. It's like, I don't understand what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. Listen, a lot of times relational stuff going on. Man, I don't understand why there's so much drama going on. You know what? Well, can I tell you why there was so much drama? You know what? Thank you. You know what? The drama is about your mama. Hey, I'm asking you, how many had some crazy mamas? Raise your hand if you had some crazy mom. Come on, raise your hand if you had some crazy mamas. Okay. We're not going to talk to you about your crazy mama. Yeah. Okay. Okay. How many had some crazy dads? Okay. How many had some crazy, crazy grandmas? Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's what's going on. And listen, and a lot of times you're hitting that, you're coming up against that, and what Paul is saying is, guys, I know this is going on in the church, but our solution to it isn't, you know what? Here's what he's saying. And here's what he's saying to them, but here's what he's saying to us. And here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to us tonight. Now is not the time to throw in the towel. Now is not the time to go, you know what? What are we going to do? I'll tell you a short story. You probably heard this story. It's one of my favorite kind of pastor is a total dork stories. We had these, you know, Tamara talks about these all these bricks, okay? So we had all these bricks, and it took a lot of energy to put all these bricks, because they were all, we had them on pallets back here behind the church, and it took a lot of work to put all those bricks one by one in a wheelbarrow, and to, you know, have to wheelbarrow them all the way out to where we were going to use them. So, you know, Pastor had a genius idea. I thought, well, I'm just going to go over Home Depot, because I worked in the grocery store, I understand. Well, I thought I understood it. But, you know, pallet jacks, you just go over there and get a pallet jack. So I went over there, and I asked for a pallet jack, and they were like, we probably, you know, how many know Home Depot probably shouldn't give us their pellet jack for 15 minutes. Probably shouldn't. But you know what? How many like people that are cool heads? Amen. How many like the people who are at the door and you were late? You were 3 minutes late, and they go, "Come on in, real quick!" And they open the door. How many like those kind of employees? Okay, I like those kind of employees. So this guy was a cool head. I found a cool head guy. He said, "Yeah, go ahead. We know you guys. You know what? Right across the street." I said, "Hey, I just have it for a bit." So I came on over here, and it had rained a lot. But I wasn't thinking. I was thinking, well, you know what? I wasn't thinking that the hydraulics, as I pumped it up, would cause it just to squish in the dirt. I thought it would lift it up. Well, how many of those bricks are not intimidated by, you know what? Exactly. So, sure enough, pump. Every time I pumped it, it just sank it into the mud. And then I thought, you know, I'm big and strong. I'm just going to pull it out. Oh, you know, the bricks are just laughing at me. You know what I mean? So then I'm like, how many know I'm recognized? I'm jacked up. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? So I run across the street. I say, hey, you know, the cool guy. I'm like, hey, I got a little small little problem. I said, I got it stuck in the mud. But, you know, you think I'd learn my lesson. But I'm like, you know, I just need one of those, you know what, power jacks. You know what I mean? I need a forklift. That's what I need. It's forklift. I should have learned his lesson. He should have learned his lesson. He should have told the pastor, no way, you are a ding dong. I'm in big time trouble. But instead, he said, okay. So he comes over with the forklift. And he puts it under, you know, and lifts it up. And that mud was the same mud as it was 20 minutes ago. Amen. And sure enough, boom. Now I've got a forklift and I got a pallet jack stuck in the mud. And how many know, I was even smart enough not to pull the pallet jack. You know what I mean? I mean, the forklift. I knew the forklift wasn't going to come. So what I do, Mr. Smith was still alive, real smart guy. So I called Tamara's dad and said, hey, you know, I am so jacked up. I'm so in trouble. And I got this guy in trouble big time. You know what I mean? He's, you know, how is he supposed to, you know, he might have lost his job over that. I'm like, what do we do? And he's like, Mr. Smith, smart. He says, well, you need to call a tow truck company. And they're going to hook up. They're going to hook it up. They'll pull it right out. Really? Yeah. Sure enough, I called AAA. I'm like, hey, you gotta get out here quick, man, please. God was good. They were gracious. They were here in 10 minutes. And sure enough, he hooked right up at the back, pulled that thing out like nothing. I mean, Pastor, why do you tell such a crazy, funny story? Okay, here's why. Because how many times you can get in a situation and it is beyond what you can figure out. And some of you are in situations and you're beyond figuring it out. Well, Paul says, no, that's not how we work. Just like at this point in time, he hadn't done that. But he understood the dynamics. That's why he just shook that thing back into the fire. Because he knew, no, this has no power over me. And he's saying, here's what you have to do. But see, we got to notice how it happens. We got to analyze this. Here's how it happens. It happens by casting down arguments. Everybody say, casting down arguments. Everybody say, casting down arguments. See? These things that pop in your head, it's an argument. You'll never have enough. That's a poverty argument. That completely goes against the word of God. You know what God says to his people? He says, I'm going to put you in houses, nice houses, that you didn't even build. Amen? I'm going to give you wells that you didn't dig. You know, all kind of crazy Christian people don't know the Word of God. They're going to argue. No, let me tell you the Word of God. You know what? God has provision for His people. He always has, and He always will. Amen. Listen, there is a great pushback, you know what, on the fact that God wants you to walk in His provision. And if you know, it's one of the things great about Hope Community Church. We're going to teach you and say, no, here, just I'll prove it to you. You just read about heaven. You know what? And you're always going to read. Here, read about heaven, and you're always going to see abundance. Watch Jesus. When He fed the 5,000, did He have enough? Oh, after He was done, there wasn't enough. There was more than enough. Why? Because that's how God does things. Amen. When He turned the water into wine, I'm just saying, they had exhausted all the wine. And when they started drinking the wine that Jesus provided, how many know what they said about the wine? Somebody say quality and quantity. Come on, amen. Listen. And you can listen to teachers on the radio that are going to come against this, but what they can't show you, this is an argument. Oh, this is a great example. You know what I'm doing? I'm not telling you what I think. I can't come against that argument. You know how I'm going to come against that argument? I'm going to come against that argument with examples in the Word of God that are going to see, that are in you, are going to speak to your spirit. And I don't care how much junk your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, Christian people on the radio, pastors on the radio telling you, no, it'll never be. You just learn to live with it. You just have to, you know what? And they teach it all day long.
That's right. Come on.
But I'm not, listen, I got an argument against that poverty. And that argument is an argument of the power of the Word of God. The argument that came when I had that issue with my back. How did you fight that? I fought it with the Word of God. For the weapons of our warfare, go back to it, guys. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, somebody say our warfare. When Paul says our warfare, he's not talking about me and Paul. He's talking about me and Paul and George. And me and Paul and George and Joanne. Does this make sense? The weapons of our warfare. I mean, if you're going to use them, amen. How many know you can come and agree with anybody you want, amen? You want to agree with what the doctors diagnosed, you can agree with them. If you want to agree with your, you know, crazy negative neighbor, you can agree with them. Is that not right? Listen, I won't even agree with people in my household. How many people in your household can sometimes be slow on the draw? I won't come in agreement with them, amen? Listen, I'm not going to do that because I can't. Because there's strongholds. And these strongholds, I don't need to be hopeless. Because our weapons, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down. You know what? That tow truck has this, what do they call that thing on it?
The hoist, the winch.
That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to hook that thing up. And you know what? You know, that mud is laughing at me. How many know that tow truck laughed at the mud? That's what it's designed to do. That's what this is designed to do. This is designed, but you have to apply this. Amen. Somebody said, oh, this is the sword of the Spirit. Wait, don't say amen yet. Somebody say, well, this is the sword of the Spirit. No, this is not the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit. This coming out of my mouth is the sword of the Spirit. Read in Revelations. The word of God coming out of the mouth is the sword. Amen? I mean, come on. Come on, man. One of my favorite preachers used to say, come on, man. Come on, man. How many know there are all kind of people? You know what? They got this. You know what? They got this on their, they got this on their, on their bench. They got this on their desk. They got this on. You listen. And listen, there's nothing wrong with when Carlos or somebody say, hey, get your sword out. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I get that. Don't start getting all theologically self-righteous. Pastor said, that's not the sword of the Spirit. No, but technically, you know what? This coming out of your mouth is what is effective. That's the mightiness. Next verse, verse 5. Look what it says. The effectiveness is casting down these arguments. How do I cast down the arguments about, you know what, about that you're, because most of us have heard, you know what, yeah, you just, you have to learn to, you know, many of us through this argument, in India, they have this caste system. And if you're poor, you're just going to be poor. If you're lower middle class, that's your class. If you're middle class, that's, you know, if you're upper class, and whatever, and there's no classes that ever, you don't go from a lower class to a higher class. You just stay in that class. That's what you're born in. Well, many times, not that we have a casting system, but because of the strongholds and because of the power of what you think and what people say, that even though you don't, in our country, you don't have to stay at that place. But in our country, many people do stay in that place. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Here's why. Because it, and it doesn't have to do with the casting system. It has to do with the spiritual stronghold that Paul says, no, we're not helpless to get out of that mud. But here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it by renewing your mind according to what God said. Not what your neighbor said, not what your family said, some of you, not even what your parents said. No. We're in a different system. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is that Jesus is God. And Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, brings, what's poverty? Poverty is just a lack in any situation. So you see a lack of healing, and Jesus brings healing. You see a lack of food, and Jesus brings food. Don't get all upset because I'm teaching the word. I know I'm about to go into another place. Okay? Don't get upset when I teach the word. Amen? Don't be a hater. Amen? Amen. You see a lack of money, what does Jesus provide? Who can I don't remember that. Who can raise your hand and remember when that happened? When? Yeah, exactly. Well, man, I don't got money. I don't got money for taxes. Hey, man, go down. There's this fish. How did that happen? Amen. How did that happen? Well, I don't know. Somebody lost a coin. Some fish. I don't know how it happened. All I know is that, you know what? Let me tell you about this. This ain't no fairy tale. I don't care what the university professor says. This is no fairy tale. Let me tell you what happened. Jesus was real. Listen, the life of Jesus is is provable. The resurrection of Jesus is totally provable. There was over 500 people that saw Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. There's a whole slew of load of people who saw Jesus die on the cross. There were people who buried Jesus, not buried him, but put him in that tomb. This stuff is documented. Well, there are people who don't believe. Yeah, there are people who, you know what? There are people who don't believe all kind of things that are true. Amen? How many know there are some people believe the world is flat? Amen? It's laughable. Amen? They're serious. They're serious. You know what? Oh, yeah, the guys walked on the moon. Oh, that was just a hoax. That was just happened in Hollywood. We didn't really walk on the moon. Are you kidding me? Here, let me tell you a big laughable one. There's people who don't believe that Jesus told the apostles where to get taxes. Let me tell you, Jesus same yesterday to never. That is absolutely true. Amen. Amen. Where there's lack, Jesus is going to came and fulfill that and filled that hole over and over and over again. Amen. 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 And what I just argued, you know what? And when he blessed that food, multiplied it. Somebody say multiplied it. You know what? You know, then he got done. What did he say when they got done? What did he say? He said, hey. What do you think? You know, every single bit of the Word of God is there for us to learn something. You think that was just, you know what? They got to, you know what? John got to the end of the chapter and said, oh, man, I got to add a little bit to this story. No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. What happened is, after everybody was fed, Jesus is going to have a coaching moment with the apostles. And Jesus is going to have that same coaching with us. Why? Because there's these crazy arguments that are in your head that you got to cast down. And you're going to cast it down, you know what? By the power is by you getting in your head that, you know what? That you don't have to walk in poverty anymore. You don't have to barely have enough. You don't have to come to the end of the month and just scrape two nickels together and say, oh my, you know, I'd like to do something for the outdoor project, but you know what? I can't. God knows my heart. That's not the will of God for your life. Amen. 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 Well, why do people think that? Here's why. Because they've allowed Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to lie to them and tell them. Amen. And so when Satan comes to Jesus and says, hey, you know what? Do this. Jesus says, no, I won't do that. When Satan comes to Jesus through, how many know Satan uses people? How many remember this? Are you all still here? Amen. Are y'all still ready to learn something? Amen? How many know Satan uses people to suade you, to convince you, to tempt you, to deceive you? And Jesus was tempted in all ways. How was Jesus tempted? Jesus was tempted by Peter, who goes to Jesus when Jesus is telling him, I got to go to the cross. I got to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Peter's like, the Bible, read it. The Bible says Peter takes Jesus aside. And then, I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. I know you never did this, arguing with God about his will in your life. But here's what the Bible says, that he rebukes Jesus. What does Jesus say? He says, you are being used by Satan. And he says, get behind me, Satan. How many know Satan will use people? And they'll have these arguments. How many know that argument? Say, no, Jesus, you shouldn't go to the cross. How many know there was a part of that that could have appealed to Jesus? No. It's not God's will, you know what, that he not go to the cross. So back to the bread and fish. So God blesses it, and he tells the apostles, hey, guys, pick up all the baskets. Pick up all the leftovers. 12 baskets full of bread. What's Jesus teaching the apostles? I'm not the God of enough. I'm the God of overflow. I'm the God of not enough. I'm the God of more than enough. I'm not the God of lack. I'm not the God of barely just make it. No, that's not the God I am. What's he teaching us when he teaches us about the wine? You know what? No. Let me tell you what. When I do things with excellence. My desire is to give my children the best. To give my guests the best. That's who I am. And that's my character. Amen. And if you don't understand, well, how are you gonna combat that? That's an argument. I'm just asking. How many of you were raised like I was raised, that my mom would take a piece of meat that shouldn't have been purchased at all? The butcher should have just thrown it out. But she bought that because it was cheap, took it home. We had this hammer with all kinds of things in it, and she'd just beat the tar out of it. Mom, what are you doing? Are you mad? No. What was she doing? Tenderizing it. Oh, so you beating the tar out of that meat is going to make it? Trust me, it didn't make it no better. Amen? Trust me, it wasn't no better. And then she'd put this lemon on it. You know what I mean? What are you doing? I'm trying to make this meat that should have been thrown out. Listen, it's too hard to eat, and it doesn't taste good. How many know you eat a good piece of meat? I mean, a really good piece of meat. I like A1 sauce on my meat. But how many know you eat a good piece of meat, you don't even need A1 sauce. Oh, that's good. Oh, not this meat. How many remember those Swanson pot pies? Amen. Oh my goodness, they should have been used for some kind of throwing contest. Amen. They're frozen. They tasted awful. They had no meat in it. You know, they should have been, whatever. You know what I mean? You want to be a vegetarian? Buy those because they got no meat in them. Amen. I'm asking, how many were raised in that kind of atmosphere? How many were raised and you were, raise your hand. I want to see. See, listen, you need to hear this kind of sermon. Because these strongholds over you, you just think that's, no, that's not your God. That's not your God. I'm teaching you something, but there's a greater thing that I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you that when you see something in the Word of God, that's got to dominate your thinking. And if, I'll close with this, if it dominates your thinking, you can get out of your mess. If it dominates your thinking, you can get out of your mess. So what dominated my thinking when I could barely walk? Here's what dominated my thinking. By his stripes, I'm whole. I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed. God has provided for me healing. That is my covenant. That is my covenant, and it was my covenant on Monday. It was my covenant on Tuesday. It was my covenant when I hurt, when I woke up, and it was my covenant when I hurt and I went to bed. Amen. And that, watch this, and that overrided that willingness to not allow that stronghold to have dominance in my life caused me to wake up one day, and I don't know when it was, 4 o'clock, I recognized, oh my goodness, I'm healed. Amen. But here's what I wasn't surprised. I didn't say, Oh, what a shock. Can I tell you what it was? Shock was? A shock was when I woke up and I still felt that pain. That was a shock. What'd you do? I said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I said, the just live by their faith. Amen. Bible says live by their faith. Faith in what? Trust in God. Trust in what? In God. In what God said in his word. Amen. Well, can we pick this up next Wednesday? Can we pick this up next Wednesday? Did you learn something tonight? Remember the title. God's word, your power. God's word, your power. Say it with me. God's word, your power. Father, I thank you. May this word sear in our heart. May those of us who were raised in poverty, may we just be free from that lying, demonic, from the pit of hell thought. And any other stronghold, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, despair. I hear God saying there's some of you who have been raised in a gang mentality, and that's a wrong identity with who your family is. And God says, no, you're in the family of God. All kinds of other strongholds. And God is saying, tonight is your night. Be free.
Yes, amen.
Be free. The sky is the limits. I'm hearing God say, allow me to show you the heights that I have for you and your family. And do what Pastor did. Just refuse to believe what you see. Refuse to believe what you hear. Refuse to back off. And be happy today in what is God going to do. Here's what God, I don't have time to teach it, but here's what I hear God saying.
Come on, man.
It's already done. It's already done. Somebody say it's already done.
It's already done.
All you're going to do is just catch up to what's already happened.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.